This is Ozarks at Large for Monday, June 13th, 2011. Ahead on the program, the board's head players at the University of Arkansas take an optimistic view of life, love, and New York City for their first production of the summer. And the KUAF Fulbright Chamber Music Festival turns to Piazzolla, Strauss, and Mendelssohn for its fourth concert of the summer season. First on the program, a name from Arkansas's past, Edward William Parker. Never heard of him? That's not unusual. Until recently, Tom Dillard, the director of special collections at the University of Arkansas Library, was unfamiliar with the name as well.
I had heard of Parker and Worthen, which was an early bank in Arkansas right after the Civil War. So I knew the name, but I had no idea who the person was behind the name.
His name is known to special collections now. Recently, letters written by Parker in the 19th century, some of them offering an insight into the state as Civil War approached, were recently opened for research. The letters had been passed from generation to generation of a family until a woman in Little Rock, Emmalou Hamilton, took a deep interest into the letters. The Hamilton family donated those letters to special collections a few months ago. The correspondence doesn't give a complete overview of Arkansas life in the 19th century, but Parker's letters do offer a glimpse of life in a frontier state.
It is not a massive body of archival documents that we would like to have. Somebody of this nature, Edward Parker, a man who was here in the lead up to the Civil War, through the Civil War, through Reconstruction, and then the building of Arkansas, the rebuilding of Arkansas after the Civil War. He lived through all of that and died in the early 1900s. So you would think that somebody of this stature, that there would be a great bulk of papers, a body of papers about them, but that's not the case. So while there are several dozen letters here that give us a very interesting look into various points in Arkansas's past, it is not a massive archives documenting Edward Parker and his work.
Krista Jones, a graduate history student at the university and senior manuscripts processor with Special Collections, says since there was little known about Edward Parker before the letters were opened, the best way to get to know him was to sit down and read his words.
There were days when I really did not want to stop working because I wanted to finish the year out of 1861 and see what was going on. It was very interesting to have a little glimpse, a little window into this person that I have absolutely no idea of, never met them, and lived 100 years before I was even thought of, and getting a glimpse of what he was encountering and his thoughts of everyday life. So you do get lost in the story.
Here is some of Edward Parker's backstory. He was born in Galveston, Texas in 1842 to a family with strong ties to the United States Northeast. When he was young, he moved with his family first to New Orleans, then to a Shaker community in Pleasant Hill, Kentucky. In 1856, about the time he'd be 14, he moves to Arkansas to live with his mother's cousin on a working plantation. Much of the correspondence is between Edward Parker and his mother. He in Arkansas, she still with the Shakers in Kentucky. Those letters provide a first-person account of the buildup to the war, a war Edward Parker's mother wants her son to have nothing to do with at all. Again, Tom Dillard, head of Special Collections.
You get into this human drama. What are we going to do? This nation that we've all been so loyal to is showing signs of fraying. And so in the letters, you do begin to get a look at this internal debate that's going on, not only within a family, into Parker family, the extended family, but also within each individual as they have to sort of lay out the plan for themselves. And in a letter dated February the 7th, 1861, this is while the Constitutional Convention is meeting in Little Rock, but before secession, he writes a letter to a cousin. Actually, this is a letter. Yeah, this is a letter from Edward Parker, and he's writing a cousin. And he talks about these times. I, with thousands of conservative men, have ever been for the Union. I take papers from all sections of the country, have an extensive correspondence, have closely noticed our congressional action, and for 6 weeks My faith of the Union being preserved has been getting weaker and weaker until I have given up all hope, and now I am for immediate secession.
Parker continues to write in that letter that the formation of the Confederacy may mean financial ruin, but he's resigned to the war's beginning. Krista Jones says researching the letters gives a reader a chance to see a family's conversation delivered across state lines.
And while he's dealing with those thoughts, he's also hearing from his mother and his father, who are in Pleasant Hill, Kentucky, who are Shakers, which do not believe in violence, trying to ask them to please stay out of politics. Don't voluntarily get yourself into politics. And take this time to spread Shakerism, spread the faith, and not have everybody so geared up for war.
There is also some correspondence with a brother, Henry, who moved to Arkansas to attend college and interrupted his education to fight with the Confederate States. Those letters are few. There are some details Henry gives about training for combat. He was wounded at the Battle of Shiloh in 1862, and the wound keeps him from fighting for the duration of the war. The relatively few details of the Civil War are important and interesting, but Tom Dillard says there are snippets of everyday life in the letters that are fascinating and even surprising.
While I intellectually know that life could be cheap on the frontier, I remember one letter in particular that talks about violence on the lower Arkansas River. And I'll just read you a little section from that. And it was kind of surprising, the cavalier nature of the way death was discovered. There was a murder committed at the Post the other day, meaning Arkansas Post. George Oakley was stabbed right through the heart, and after he had lain a little while on his back, he was taken out and thrown in the weeds, and it is a wonder that hogs did not get at and eat him. There was a man shot at Napoleon, but not killed. No cause known. The one who shot him ran away. Don't know who killed Oakley. No arrests made. There were seven persons in the room. The candle was blown out and the deed done. Please direct your letters to this office. So...
Such a very calm way to end.
To report on murders and, stabbings through the heart.
Tom Dillard says the letters offer descriptions of life in slow motion, at least to readers in the early 21st century. Correspondents could only travel as fast as a galloping horse or a steamboat. That, he says, may have given people a chance to consider or ruminate on matters longer than we can imagine. There are fewer letters in the collection, written the months and years after Edward Parker's mother dies. And for Krista Jones, that meant pieces of a puzzle that are missing.
It became very frustrating at one point because I wanted to know, well, did so-and-so get that job? When did Edward Parker remarried? We know he remarried after he divorced his first wife, but when did it happen? How did they meet? And so it does get frustrating not to have every important fact in detail.
And to follow up on that a little bit, this issue of frustration associated with documenting lives through archival collections. In the case of Edward Parker, I was frustrated by the fact that there are no letters there that really deal with his building of this economic empire. A banker, very successful banker. He sold his interest in Worthen Bank early on and used that capital to branch out and diversify, but we don't know very much about that. We know very little about it. We know that he was able to retire, and move back to Massachusetts and leave his businesses in charge of various family members. But that's only a skeleton of the life of a very successful businessman. I really wish we could get beneath that skeleton and really find the information that we need.
Those details may never be known, or perhaps are in another collection of letters in an attic or garage somewhere, waiting for fresh eyes. The letters of Edward William Parker are now cataloged and available for research at special collections at the University of Arkansas Library. This is Ozarks at Large. This is Ozarks at Large. School's out, and the time is right for summer camps of all kinds in the region. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda says kids in the Arkansas River Valley have a chance to learn more about theater this summer.
It's June, and although the school year was a little longer for many because of inclement weather, most students are finally out of class for the summer. However, just because kids are taking a vacation from attending school each day doesn't mean they have to take a break from learning. For those who wish to brush up on some of the skills necessary for performing on stage, the Young Actors Guild is offering some summer classes. Executive Director Missy Gibson says the way YAG has organized its courses should allow students to work them into their schedules more easily.
What we're doing is kind of unique. We're doing intensives, so it's more like a four-hour class on a Saturday. It might be a two-part, like one Saturday and then the next. Most of the time, they're one-day things. What we're trying to do is offer it to people because vacations and all the things people do, like you said, camps, week-long camps, or they might be in a show. We're trying to get kids in that want to do these classes but just really don't have the time to commit to a two- or three-week camp. So we're just doing intensives, really intense look at some curriculum, you know, and going across all the different disciplines. So we're trying to offer something from everywhere.
Gibson explains that the organization will offer a variety of classes to help students interested in theater.
And all of our teachers are phenomenal. We've got people that have been, our choreographer has been doing choreography for musicals forever. One of our people that's teaching acting the song, Alicia Spear, she's a really popular voice teacher from the area. Jenna Moreau, who's obviously great set designer here at Hairspray, she's offering a class, and they're going to do a really intense scene design of Peter Pan. And Aaron Hagar, who is our costumer for Hairspray, is also going to do building a period piece out of found materials, which is just so cool. We also have an acting workshop with a local actress that is currently going to be seen as Maria in Sound of Music at Portsmouth Little Theater, and she is doing a physical acting workshop. We just have a little bit of everything that we're trying to get the kids involved in, technical theater as well as onstage stuff. So yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Gibson says the classes are often broken down into the age groups of 8 to 12 years old and 13 to 19 years old. However, that may change slightly at the discretion of a teacher. Also, the classes are limited to 20 to 25 children, which ensures that participants can get more individualized instruction.
You get that really, that attention from the teachers, and then also you can really get to know the people in your class. I mean, it's such a short time period that, you know, if we put too many people in it, they're just really not going to get that that attention that I think they need to really get through that material.
The first workshop, which is a choreography class, is scheduled for June 18th and will be taught by Beth Knox, who helped choreograph a number in the Young Actors Guild's recent production of Hairspray. More information is available at yagonline.org. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And there is more theater ahead on this Monday edition of Ozarks at Large. We'll get a sneak preview of the first offering from the Boar's Head Players this summer at the University of Arkansas. They're presenting the musical I Love You Because. That's ahead on Ozarks at Large. And still more theater right now. Trike Theater is offering summer camps in Fayetteville, Bentonville, and Bella Vista for children from 4 years old to 12th grade. Week-long acting camps begin today. But if you can't make it this week, you still have a chance. The camps will run until July 29th. Registration available at the website triketheater.org. That's triketheater.org. Ozark Literacy Council will be holding a free tutor training workshop for people interested in the multicultural experience. Ozark Literacy Council enrolls students from 20 to 30 different countries. Tutors will be teaching English literacy. The workshop is tonight at 5:30. If you'd like more information, 521-8250. Local support for Ozarks at Large comes from Northwest Arkansas Business Journal, the latest edition featuring transportation, including public and private trucking firms, plus local business news in Northwest Arkansas. The current edition is available at 725-0394 or nwabusinessjournal.com to register for daily business e-news or more information. And support for Ozarks at Large is also provided by Westwood Gardens, offering a variety of Westwood-grown annuals, perennials, and hanging baskets. Four locations in Northwest Arkansas, 442-3500 or westwoodgardens.com.
Earth, sky.
Monday, June 13th. At mid-northern latitudes in the northern hemisphere, the earliest sunrises of the year are happening now.
That's despite the fact that the summer solstice, the year's longest day, is still a week away. If you're outdoors before the sunrise, you'll find some of the most beautiful dawn twilights of the year.
And in 2011, you'll also find a string of morning planets adorning the eastern sky. These planets are Jupiter, highest in the east before dawn, Mars, and Venus, closest to the eastern pre-dawn horizon.
The exact date of earliest sunrise varies with latitude. At 40 degrees north latitude, say Denver, the earliest sunrise of the year will happen tomorrow. For that latitude, latest sunset will fall on June 28th. Meanwhile, the longest day of the year comes with the June 21st summer solstice. The exact dates vary, but the sequence is always the same. Earliest sunrise before the summer solstice, longest day on the solstice, latest sunset after the solstice.
Mid-June is the most beautiful time of year to go outside and experience the earliest dawn twilight, when the morning light is at its most fragile. And if you're out there watching, don't forget the string of planets rising before the sun into the eastern sky. For a sky chart, come to earthsky.org.
Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Temperatures this week are expected to reach into the lower to mid-90s throughout the region each day. Summer. For years on the University of Arkansas campus, the warm months between traditional academic semesters has meant productions from the Boar's Head Players. Last week, the half-dozen cast members of the University of Arkansas's production of I Love You Because were dancing, singing, and rehearsing almost everything else they needed to rehearse. The musical is an effervescent examination of love and dating in New York City.
Brush my teeth in the shower, shampoo twice. Clean and print for an hour, home spicy is nice. Then I'm off to Catherine's, I knock on her door right on time like I have every Saturday before. She's my angel in white, another Saturday night in New York. Then we're off to have dinner, drink some fine wine.
Ooh, wah, 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 wah.
Every night I'm a winner, wah, Catherine
wah,
is mine.
Shoo-bee-doo-bee-doo, wah, 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 wah.
I'm flying so high that I can't see the ground. They can see me all the way down the Long Island Sound. Our future is bright, another Saturday night in New York.
This past Tuesday night, the cast, Mason Aisbill, Sam Redis, Sarah Jane Robinson, Molly Carroll, Jordan Scott, and Stuart Font, took 5 minutes or so to sit in the house and talk about the show that opens this Thursday night at Nadine Baum Studios in downtown Fayetteville. The six-person cast has the giant task of embodying New York City. For two actors, Jordan Scott and Stuart Font, the majority of the 6 million or so residents of the city fall upon them. They play New York woman and New York man, respectively.
We both have multiple characters that we are, such as I'm the Bennett's landlord, and I'm also a waiter at a Chinese restaurant that they go to, and just things like that. And we are basically the rest of New York. Everybody else, the average man who just watches them and comments on everything that's happening.
In her role, or roles, as New York woman, Jordan Scott is a waitress, and that alone required some extra work on her part.
Yes, I learned that it's much harder than it looks, and the past couple rehearsals, we've had a couple spills, but I've been going home and practicing, and practicing on my waiter skills, which could come in handy when I move to New York for real. So, Yes, it's and it's actually challenging to play these five different characters who sometimes you only see for two lines. And, I mean, even though you only see them for two lines, they're just as much a living, breathing human being as everybody on stage is. So how do we capture who that person is with the lines, "I'll see you later," and "have a good night"?
The actors say they've been creating biographies for each of those characters that help them understand those single lines the character may utter. Even if the 2006 off-Broadway hit is a mostly upbeat production, it still takes plenty of commitment from the small cast. It's inspired by Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice, and the pacing is quick, the dialogue and lyrics snappy. Molly Carroll and Sarah Jane Robinson have the musical equivalent of a decathlon in a potential showstopper called The Actuary Song. Even in a rehearsal, you can hear the work.
Rebound time.
Oh, well, like 6 months, yeah?
No. It's as simple as take your relationship length, or RL. First year of RL is worth 6 months recovery. The second year is worth exactly half that. Don't you laugh at this brilliant discovery? Each year is worth one half the lack of mirth the year before was worth. Your aches and pains will soon diminish. So rebound time, or RT, is the fraction of a year it takes for pain to disappear. Go through RT and then finish. Your RT is important and it really can't be shortened. No matter what you do, don't even try.
What if I...
So you can date around, but then those guys will just be rebound men, and that's what rebound time is all about. And it's as simple as that.
So I give it time, then find the one. I'm gonna go out and I'll get him once my rebound time is done.
It is a complicated song.
Molly Carroll sings the staccato verse in the song.
I think it really embodies the two characters. I'm Marcy's best friend in the show, and but they're very, very different personalities. And I'm trying to explain to her in this song that rebound time is necessary for her to be able to move on and get to the next guy. And because Diana is an actuary, I've calculated this rebound time, this equation for rebound time, and believe that it works, and the numbers are very important, and I'm really set on helping her through rebound time and finding Mr. Right.
Sarah Jane Robinson shares the stage for the song.
It's really hard, and we've spent a fair amount of time on it and will continue to do so, but you kind of have to be really present with your character and why this person's telling you. And you have to know the other person's texts just as well as your own to be able to continue your relationship on stage while you're doing 100 million things.
The score for I Love You Because bounces about from pop to ballad and almost everything else in between. Sam Redis says the cast has spent a number of hours just working the music.
We've been working really hard on the music, especially because it's a challenging score vocally, just because a lot of it's in the higher range, so we've just been working really hard on it.
The script is set in New York City, and the production debuted there and met initial success in Manhattan. But in the 5 years since it opened, it's played to enthusiastic audiences and received positive reviews in locations as diverse as the Philippines, Des Moines, and Seoul, South Korea. Cast members agree there is a universal message here that makes the script work. Dating and love are, after all, pretty common subjects, but the fact that the story is set in New York also gives it broad appeal.
I also think that everybody has like an idea of like what New York is, and everybody has like mindset of, you know, New York's this great place where anything can happen. You can meet these unexpected people that you may or may not fall in love with, and I don't know. In that sense, I think it's universal.
And Mason Aysbill says this opener for Boar's Head Players, the traditional summer production unit of the University of Arkansas Drama Department, is perfect for the brighter, longer days of June.
I think there's that summer positivity, and I definitely sense it. Whereas I was in Othello, and you know, we had to work into the winter, into the spring, and I'm not going to lie, some stress surrounded that, whereas summer is more carefree, and this musical does a good job of, once again, bringing that carefree attitude into it.
I Love You Because will open Thursday night, and the limited run will have 8 o'clock curtains Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights this week, 2 o'clock matinees on Saturday and Sunday. All performances are at Nadine Baum Studios. That's just off Dixon Street in downtown Fayetteville. The play is directed by Kate Frank. This is Ozarks at Large.
But then it changes, and all that you know rearranges, and
and you start to think that it all almost sounded too good to be true. Another Saturday night in New York.
Another Saturday night. Another Saturday night.
I'll be with Catherine for the rest of my life.
Another Saturday.
Oh, I'll be with Catherine for the rest of my life. Another Saturday night.
This is Ira Glass of This American Life. And yes, 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 you've heard it all before when it comes to stories of dads and their children. There's a story about the kid who idolizes his dad but then learns something and becomes disappointed. And there's the opposite story where the kid gives up on his dad when he's still young and then later comes to have a grudging respect. This week on This American Life, for Father's Day, surprising stories of fathers trying to be good dads.
This American Life with Ira Glass, twice each weekend on KUAF, Saturday mornings at 6, Sunday mornings at 10. That's Sunday edition, right after Weekend Ozarks at Large on KUAF. If you want to know more about our schedule, programming schedule for all of the KUAF stations, you can go to our website, KUAF.com. The track and field season is over for both the men and women's squads at the University of Arkansas. This weekend in Des Moines, the men ended up in a tie for 10th place nationally, recording 25 points. The women's track and field team ended up in 14th place, finishing with 18 points. A state FEMA Disaster Assistance Center has opened in Fayetteville for Washington County residents. The center is at the Washington County Courthouse Quorum Courtroom at 280 North College Avenue. It is open both today and tomorrow, hours each day, 10 until 3. To register for FEMA assistance, you can call 800-621-3362. You can also go online to disasterassistance.gov, or if you have a smartphone, m.fema.gov. And to celebrate Arkansas's 175th birthday, that's this week, the Washington County Historical Society and Walton Arts Center will present the play Digging Up Arkansas at Owl Creek School in Fayetteville Wednesday. That's the official statehood day. All interested in attending must pre-register with the Walton Arts Center box office due to a limited amount of seating. For more information about this special presentation, you can call 443-5600 or online waltonartscenter.org. It's June 11th, 2011. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Becca Bacon-Martin. She's the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
And while Kyle and I could only wish for the opportunity to be bored, because Kyle's always six or eight people, and I'm four people at work right now, kids are already bored.
Now
they've been out of school 3 days.
I was going to say, this year, summer came later than usual because of all those snow days they had to make up. You think there are kids that are already bored?
I'm sure there are.
Okay.
I'm sure there are. And summer fun starts today all around the area. The Jones Center in Springdale is doing its Summer Youth Academy Day Camp. 7:45 to 3 Tuesday through Friday. It starts tomorrow with drama and stage. There's a sports and fitness week, a cooking week, an art week, a music week, and a mad science week.
That sounds like a heck of a lot of fun.
I wish they'd let us go to summer camp. It's $60 a week. Call 756-8090. Arts Live Theater has a ton of summer camps. Some of them are We've Got Rhythm, which starts today. Look, Ma, I'm Dancing, which starts today. Gotta Dance, which starts today. Sing Out Louise Musical Theater Camp, which starts today, and again July 11th. And all of these have second dates.
Good. So if you're just learning about this now,
right,
you have
you're
a
not
respite.
Out of luck.
Okay.
Disguise Yourself Theater Makeup Camp starts June 20th. Guerrilla Theater June 20th. Put 'em Up Stage Combat Camp July 11th. So much fun. There's another half dozens. So call 521-4932. They run $100 to $150.
Not bad.
Art Center of the Ozarks has a ton of stuff, performing arts, visual arts. But one of the things you need to know about is that they have a summer section of classes. Mm-hmm. So call and check on that. Starting today, creative dramatics, wheel throwing, earrings, bracelet bling.
Wheel throwing, that's pottery.
Yes.
Okay, just want to make sure. Okay.
Unless they've had a really bad day with the kids.
Right.
Wire pendants, all sorts of things. You name it, they're teaching something about it. The Northwest Arkansas Community Creative Center in Fayetteville has classes starting today, including garden geckos, blue-tongued skinks, imaginary reptiles.
I love that title.
I do, too. Starts today, word power, oil painting, so much more. The Botanical Garden of the Ozarks has Explore at BGO, a nature and gardening camp that starts tomorrow. And you can find out about it by calling 750-2620. It's $130 to $200, depending on how much time you spend there. And the Winslow Art Camp, One World Many Stories, starts today. It's $10 a child, and you can call 634-3791.
So all kinds of opportunities during June and July to get out of the house and have kids do
something
creative.
Another thing starting later. Theater Squared has camp starting later. Rogers Little Theater has camp starting later.
There's the University of Arkansas Fort Smith Academy of the Arts. They have stuff through the summer.
And the libraries all have great right. performances and things going on. So if you're bored, come to my office and I'll put you to work.
Becca Bacon-Martin is the editor of What's Up, found at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansongs.
There's a photo in my baby book of the first step that I ever took. I ended up on my butt with a puzzled look. Ever since I've been kind of confused. When life tripped me up, I was easily bruised. But time has a way of healing wounds.
Sean Camp of Perryville in Perry County was born into a musical family. The Arkansasian got an early start in music himself. So much so, it was no surprise Camp has been a musician most of his life. After years as a player and songwriter in the music business in Nashville, Tennessee, where he moved in 1987, Sean Camp built a solid reputation in that community. He's played fiddle with the Osborne Brothers, Alan Jackson, Jerry Reed, Susie Boggess, and Trisha Yearwood. His songs have been recorded by Garth Brooks, George Strait, Brooks and Dunn, John Anderson, Josh Turner, and more. He's co-written songs with the likes of Loretta Lynn, Guy Clark, and Jim Lauderdale. Sean Camp is well known in the Nashville community as a hit songwriter and a multi-instrumentalist. But it wasn't supposed to be that way. Sean Camp was supposed to be a star.
I tossed and turned and tried counting sheep. When will I ever learn? I'll never sleep till you're by my side. It's just a waste of time. Ain't no use trying to get you off my mind.
In 1992, Sean Camp signed as a solo act to Reprise Records, the famed subsidiary label of Warner Brothers. The following year, Sean Camp's self-titled debut album was released. The lead songs on the album were Fallen Never Felt So Good, which opened this episode of Arkansongs, and Confessing My Love, heard here. The album features star musicians like guitarist James Burton and bassist Roy Husky Jr. and Willie Weeks, and vocalists Allison Krauss and Shelby Lynn. Camp sings, plays fiddle, dobro, and acoustic guitar, and co-wrote 9 of its 10 songs. He's also pictured somewhat seductively on his debut album's front cover in a bedroom scene with his Western shirt unbuttoned to his navel, blonde hair cascading down the nape of his neck, and his head cocked questioningly.
Lonesome feelings got a hold on me, and if I don't want to cry no tears, why'd I head out down that lonely street, and why'd I ever come in here? 'Cause when I start drinking, bound to start thinking about who you're with tonight. And I'm bound to cry, bound to wonder whose spell you're under. And if you hold him tight, then I'm bound to cry, bound to want you, but I don't want to. And honey, if y'all walk by, then I'm bound to cry.
Buzz was on in the early 1990s about Sean Camp, this handsome Arkansas kid in his 20s who had authenticity, songwriting talent, and musical and vocal chops. Would he be the next Glenn Campbell? Sean Camp music videos were being shown on TV, and he was getting radio airplay. Signed to a major American record label, all of the elements were in place for singer, songwriter, musician Sean Camp to blow up as a performer.
wake up in the morning when the radio plays. Drank my coffee with the local DJ. Talking about traffic on the interstate. Bound to be late, it's one of them days. One of them days when the sun don't shine. Same old pain in this heart of mine. Sky is gray.
Both the performer Sean Camp and the album Sean Camp did well enough for Reprise and Warner Brothers Records that a follow-up was set. Surely the second album would solidify Camp's establishment as an artist. But when Camp turned in the tapes to his follow-up album to the company, the country music performer's work was considered too country. The label asked for less traditional country music sounds and more electric guitars. Sean Camp balked at such impudent suggestions. He has to be given a release date for the second Sean Camp album or be given a release from his major label contract. Company obliged by releasing Sean Camp from his contract. But both the performer and the album Sean Camp lived on, and more than 15 years later, Reprise Nashville finally issued Sean Camp's long-dismissed second album in fall of 2010, along with the re-release of his debut album. Sean Camp's long years of work in the music business were thus again acknowledged by the industry, but one gets the idea Sean Camp would be writing, playing, and singing regardless.
Ain't no loving when I get home late. A hard day of labor and my old back aches. TV dinner, Channel 8. John Wayne just thought he had the longest.
Here in its entirety is Arkansas-er Sean Camp of Perryville in Perry County with a song from his 1993 debut, Sean Camp, called Confessing My Love.
And turned and tried counting sheep. When will I ever learn? I'll never sleep till you're by my side. It's just a waste of time. Ain't no use trying to get you off my mind. So I guess I'll be confessing my love, confessing my love. There ain't gonna be no resting at all, 'cause I want you too much. I might get all embarrassed and a little tongue-tied, 'cause I ain't had no lessons in expressing it right. Yes, I guess I'll be confessing my love. Up and speak my mind, but I've been wanting you for too long a time. Now I just can't take this anymore. About to hear some knocking on your front door. 'Cause tonight I guess I'll be confessing my love, confessing my love. There ain't gonna be no resting at all, 'cause I want you too much. I might get all embarrassed and a little tongue-tied, 'cause I ain't had no lessons in expressing it right. Yes, I guess I'll be confessing my love. Yes, I guess I'll be confessing my love to you tonight. Yes, I'll be confessing. Yes, I'll be confessing my love.
Sean Camp of Perryville in Perry County with Confessing My Love from his self-titled 1993 debut solo album, reissued in 2010. It's another song of Arkansas. From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansongs.
Arkansongs is a production of FM 89 and Experiment Station Studios. For more information, visit arkansongs.org.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Stephen Gates. He is the coordinator, the curator, and organizer for the KUAF Fulbright Summer Chamber Music Festival. This is the third year that this festival has gone on.
Third year.
And we're about to talk about the fourth of six concerts in the series.
Right.
Now, a couple of familiar names, composers' names on here, Strauss and Mendelssohn. But yep. You're beginning with someone.
We're beginning with a piece, a short piece for piano trio, which means piano, violin, and cello, by Astor Piazzolla. And as I said to you before we started this, we cellists don't play a lot of his music, and so it's not a piece that I was familiar with prior to starting to rehearse this summer. But it's a very, very, very beautiful, lush, very brief, too, little piece for that's a very nice sort of program opener, icebreaker, if you will.
When you say as a musician you're not as familiar,
right.
So say there is something like the Mozart Quintet
right.
that you played in the third concert. When you say familiar, does that mean you have played it before or you have at least heard it?
At least heard it, maybe played it, or at least have played other stuff by that composer. On the same concert with the Piazzolla is another piece that I don't know well at all, a Mendelssohn sextet written for the very, very uncommon instrumental grouping of one violin, two violas, cello, bass, and piano. So I suppose technically it would be called a piano sextet or a sextet for piano and strings. But this is not a well-known piece at all. I had never heard even of the piece prior to getting together for this summer, and it was suggested actually by a member of the audience.
Oh, really?
And so we got this email, and then Urgene and I sat down and listened to it. We did find a recording and thought, gee, this is really lovely. Let's do it. And it's also nice to do. There isn't a lot of chamber music that utilizes double bass. And so in this case, this does. And so it's nice to do that, too.
So with this Piazzolla, which will open Thursday night's concert, and the Mendelssohn Sextet that close it, if you're not that familiar with, does that alter in any way your approach mentally or physically to rehearsal?
Well, yes, in the sense that I at least don't sit down sort of knowing how the piece goes ahead of time with either of those two pieces. And so it means I try to do maybe a little more practicing ahead of the first rehearsal than I might otherwise if I really knew how the piece went already. And I think for the Mendelssohn, that applies to all six of us because I as I said, there's an awful lot of chamber music by Mendelssohn, but this is not a piece that I know. And I'm not exactly sure why, because it's lovely. It's got everything you would want from Mendelssohn. Beautiful tunes, lots of virtuosity in the piano part, and it's just a lovely piece.
The first time you and your five fellow musicians come together to rehearse the Mendelssohn, do you play it straight through?
As best we can, usually we do. You know, we stop and start where we get off or misread or something like that. But we try to at least get through it. And I always say in a somewhat cavalier fashion, that's, you know, when you play it through, that's the way you learn where the hard parts are.
Sure.
And what you need to either rehearse as soon as possible or run home and practice.
All right, so Piazzolla at the beginning, Mendelssohn at the end, in between Strauss.
In between Strauss. This is early sonata for violin and piano by Richard Strauss, you know, the late 19th, early 20th century Strauss. And it's going to be played by Mio Saccone, who is joining us for, you know, came last week and will be around for the last couple concerts. And Shengwan Kwan will be here starting on this concert. And so once she gets here, we're apparently keeping her very busy. She's had a little time before she arrives, but we're doing a piano-intensive stuff and, by the way, moving back to the Stella Boyle Smith Concert Hall for this concert and the remaining two. So the last three are all at Stella Boyle Smith.
Still the same starting time.
7:30, yep. And I think people do know this, but there's lots of free parking in a very uncrowded, in the summer, stadium parking deck.
And then all you have to do is just kind of cruise through the...
get up to the top floor and cruise through the lobby, and you're really there.
Right.
So very, even if it's pouring down rain, it's a short walk.
There are going to be a lot of different instruments in this fourth concert.
Right. It's all strings with piano, but we haven't done anything with piano so far this summer. So it's going to be a lot of fun to start doing some of this chamber music that you can do with piano. And with two violas, we've done some two viola stuff like the Mozart Quintet you mentioned, and it'll be a lot of fun to have the violist who's played with us a lot in the past couple of summers, Jesse Collette, will be back with us at this point. I believe the school where he teaches is finally out for the summer.
Right.
And so he'll be able to be with us and Andrew Thompson will play the other viola part.
Thursday night, 7:30, Celeboyo Concert Hall.
Yep, free and followed by a reception as always.
Stephen, thank you very much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
This is Ozarks at Large, and despite what I said earlier in the program when I was talking with Becca, this is the 13th of June, not the 11th, the June 13th edition of Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keillor in just a moment. First, a trivia question. The correct answer today wins two Malco movie passes, good for any Malco theater throughout the KUIF listening area, and two vouchers that can be exchanged for tickets for an upcoming Northwest Arkansas Naturals game. The Naturals are in the midst of an 8-game homestand that began last night at Arvest Ballpark in Springdale. The Naturals won last night in extra innings, by the way. Today's question, inspired by Chubby Checker. He'll be performing at Oaklawn, the casino and racetrack in Hot Springs, Thursday night. He was born Ernest Evans, but early in his musical career, he was given the nickname, which is now his professional name, of course, of Chubby Checker. It's a play on Fats Domino, who had already become famous. Did Ernest Evans receive the nickname and eventual professional name of Chubby Checker from the wife of Dick Clark, the wife of Hubert Humphrey, or the wife of Ed Sullivan? Who gave Ernest Evans the moniker of Chubby Checker? It was the wife of somebody famous in the late 50s. Was it Dick Clark's wife, Hubert Humphrey's wife, or Ed Sullivan's wife? If you think you know the answer or just want to guess, you can call 800-522-5823. That's 800-522-KUIF. All correct answers are put into the ceramic cow. One will be chosen to win the Malco movie passes and the vouchers for Northwest Arkansas Naturals baseball. Good luck.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 13th of June, 2011. It's the birthday in 1865 in Dublin of William Butler Yeats. It's the birthday of Dorothy L. Sayers, born in Oxford, 1893. She was one of the first women to graduate from Oxford with a degree in medieval literature. Her first two books were volumes of poetry, then her first mystery novel, Whose Body, 1923, featuring Lord Peter Wimsey, a witty aristocrat who solved mysteries as a hobby. She wrote 11 more novels featuring Lord Peter. It was on this day, 1983, Pioneer 10 passed outside Pluto's orbit, becoming the first man-made object to leave the solar system. It had been launched 10 years before. It passed safely through the asteroid belt, which was no small accomplishment in itself. Some of the asteroids are the size of Alaska. It took the first close-up pictures of Jupiter, sent back data about the solar wind in the far reaches of the solar system. The Pioneer 10 mission was originally expected to last about 21 months. It went on for 25 years. and Pioneer 10 sent its last faint communication back home in January 2003. And it continues on its way, though its communication system is no longer operational, on its way to Aldebaran in the constellation Taurus, and it should make it there in about 2 million years. It's the birthday of the novelist and diarist Frances Burney, born in Norfolk, England, 1752. She started keeping a diary when she was 16 years old and kept it up for over 70 years. Her father had some famous friends, so she wrote about them, Dr. Johnson, James Boswell, David Garrick, Sir Joshua Reynolds. She was a lady-in-waiting at the court of King George III and Queen Charlotte, so she wrote about the madness of the king. She married a French general, Alexandre d'Arblay, and thanks to him, she got a close look at the Battle of Waterloo and wrote about that. She also wrote about her own mastectomy, performed without any anesthesia except a single glass of wine. Her first published novel, Evelina, or The History of a Young Lady's Entrance into the World, 1778, a comedy of manners, was a great success, and she succeeded in making novel writing an acceptable thing for women to do and inspired Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice, which came along about 25 years later. And it was on this day, 1967, President Lyndon Johnson named Thurgood Marshall to the Supreme Court, the first African-American justice, who enjoyed poker, bourbon, pig's feet, and placing $2 bets at the racetrack. Here's a poem for today by Hank Hudapole, The Fair. Before the gates opened, before popcorn and cotton candy drifted down throats like sweet and salty summer evenings of childhood, before the townspeople confessed to the music and lights, the Ferris wheel baskets swung empty in a slow arc, one by one, offering color to the sky, red, yellow, orange, blue. Just roving boys, what else could we do but follow the sandaled feet of girls out to the fair to buy them rides until our pockets turned up penniless, until we lost them in the dark, the way sparrows will fly from you, until our last walk past the funhouse, mirrors stretched our bodies like gum when we caught ourselves looking back at ourselves for the first time. The Fair by Hank Hudapole from The Journey of Hands, published by Word Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Novo Nordisk for nearly 90 years committed to innovation in diabetes care at novonordisk-us.com. Produced by Kathy Roach, written by Holly Vanderhaar. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And time for our answer to today's question. Who gave Ernest Evans the professional name of Chubby Checker, by which he's still known? The woman who came up with the name is Barbara Mallory, who was married to Dick Clark. Chubby Checker will be performing Thursday night in Hot Springs at Oaklawn Racetrack and Casino. He had a number one hit in both 1960 and 1961 with his cover of The Twist. Local support for Ozarks at Large comes from the Arkansas Committee of the National Museum of Women in the Arts and Downtown Bentonville Incorporated, presenting Women to Watch 2011, open now until June 18th at 109 Northwest 2nd Street in Bentonville. This exhibition features women artists from Arkansas. More information at downtownbentonville.org or 254-0254. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville.